Flacco near side of the field looking for Mitchell, and there's the flag. Just a backbreaker here for the Steelers.
I don't care. That was BS. Dad was not okay, because that was legal. He did nothing malicious. He didn't even hit him in the head. He led with the shoulder. If anything, he led up. So I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, this shouldn't matter, because I have every single right to go for the ball. If I don't clean him and load, put my hand into his head, it shouldn't be a penalty. I'm allowed to go for the ball, just like he's allowed to go for the ball. And I don't even know how we're supposed to play anymore.
Wow. That's as bad a call as you're going to see in the NFL. And then Mitchell, the wide receiver, gets up and celebrates like he did anything apart for alligator arm a football.
Mm-hmm.
And not a good throw from Flacco, but my man makes no effort to catch the ball, pulls up. Speaking of pulls up, so did Minka Fitzpatrick. Minka could have sent that guy into
another universe.
Yeah, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yep.
He could have really injured the guy. He could have put helmet to helmet. He could have put helmet to sternum. And my big problem with it, with that play, is if the ball is caught, Mink is coming in like a heat-seeking missile. So just because the ball doesn't find its intended target, you can't expect him to adjust, and even so, he did adjust. That's a crap call in a league that is now every Sunday. We can do we can break it down after the games. We can break it down every Monday morning, a dozen or so of these kind of calls. I'm with Deshaun Elliott, who said, we heard there, it was BS. I'm with Minka, who doesn't know what to do.
It is so hard to slow up whenever you're going 1,000 miles per hour. People don't understand how fast the game goes and how fast the game is played. As you just said, he did slow up. I mean, he could have absolutely took him, like, sent him into space if he wanted to. There was no helmet to helmet. He didn't lower the crown of his helmet. He didn't, you know, put his helmet on, a guy's knee or anything. This is a bang-bang play where you're asking a high-level athlete that's going 100 miles per hour to totally stop and not hit somebody and not run into somebody. Football is about that. This is like, what Minka also said after the game was like, this isn't a game that I grew up watching or grew up playing. Like, it's ridiculous at this point. And even Gene Steratore, who was on the broadcast with Adam Archuleta, who was, a former safety,
yep,
they both were irritated by it. That was a ridiculous call. Like, what are we doing? This isn't flag football.
I think that call's bad for player safety. Because if I'm Minka Fitzpatrick, next time something like that happens, I'm getting my money's worth.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to throw a flag when I pull up, what Minka did was actually respect a fellow union member.
Mm-hmm.
What Minka did was care about his fellow man. And still he gets hit with the 15-yard penalty. Next time, I'm crushing the dude. You're going to flag me anyway? I want this guy to feel it. But it's so emblematic of the league and the problem at large when Mitchell runs back onto the field acting like he just himself won the Super Bowl. All you did, bro, was not make a play on the football and take kind of a half-assed hit from Minka Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you be celebrating. Ridiculous to me. I think it's bad for player safety. I think next time Minka takes his knees out, next time Minka, you're probably still not going to go high because you don't want to get fined or suspended or anything like that. But I ain't laying off.
That was ridiculous. I mean, it clearly, he was pulling up. He clearly didn't even go. He didn't even use his helmet at all. He used his shoulder. I mean, and then it changes the game. And I think the bigger picture here, and what you're alluding to, is this is not just the Steeler game yesterday. Like, this is going around the league. Like, so many flags are being thrown. And I understand that they have a process and a rule book, and things change year to year that they have to follow. And it says, well, the rule says this, and so we have to act upon it. But, I mean, it's almost becoming unwatchable for a lot of games. Every game that you watch, there's a flag every other play. It's getting out of hand. It's insane at this point.
This game had some questionable calls, including a roughing the passer, which I even saw Steelers fans say, the one where Justin Fields got dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Steelers fans say, man, even we think that's a bad call. Guess what? That's not a bad call. That's in the rule book that way. The rule book is dumb. That thing, I think, was applied correctly, that rule. And that's absurd. What I have a problem with is there were two times where Flacco, he gets held up in the pocket.
I was just about to say that.
A couple.
That's, Cam Hayward.
Yeah. And there's,
he's like,
he doesn't know what to do.
Right. Doesn't know what to do. Like, can I touch him? Can I throw him to the ground? Can I tackle him? Like, so it kind of lit up. Thought the whistle was going to be blown. And then Flacco escapes and then extends the drive.
Yep. And I thought at least one of those should have been intentional grounding. I think there's conversations that could have been had about both. But you don't drop him on his dupa because you're afraid that if you do, it's going to be 15 yards and the drive continues. And it's an automatic first down. The whole thing's a mess. Again, I think the roughing the passer, by the letter of the law, you can't pick a guy up and drop him down like that. I wish you could. That's football, but you can't. So then Cam Hayward gets a sack taken away. The whole thing's a mess, but it's not going to change.
Mm-mm.
Because we watch in massive record-setting numbers. Week one, most watched by average per game we've ever seen in the NFL, even with all the laundry. In this game, it felt like there were a ton of flags. And by comparison to the last two games with this crew, not a lot of flags. That's the sickening thing, Dory.
Yeah.
The last two games, on average, this crew called 20 penalties a game. It felt like there was laundry all over the field yesterday. Only 10 penalties were accepted in the game, and it still felt like it was too much. Imagine watching one of the ones where there's 20.
Oh, my goodness.
It has become unwatchable, but because we are locked in, because we are prisoners, basically, of the NFL, because it is cultural, because it is habitual, we are now a captive audience to this product that is absolutely deteriorating. And guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, you can't even play defense. They were terrible defensively yesterday. Terrible defensively. But you're not allowed to play defense
in
a lot of instances.
I thought they were going to throw the flag on the one with Anthony Richardson where he slid and Minkah ran into him.
Real quick, real dumb by Frank Reich to call a run play with your quarterback.
Steichen.
One of those guys. I should know it's Steichen because he shoves it up the Steelers' backside every time they play.
Yeah, you put him in harm's way.
Hey, oh, our quarterback.
He probably thought he was going to hand it off. He didn't think he was going to actually pull it, though.
Yeah. That looked bad. Like, he started going down way early. You could see he kind of broke it down early. And then I thought, yeah, I did think Minkah was going to get flagged for that one. But he pulled up there, too.
Right.
Like, Minkah's being a responsible citizen out there. And he one out of the two times, he still gets called for it. One thing I'm not going to take, though, from Steelers fans is any excuse making there. Because it would have been a 3rd and 10. It would have been a 3rd and 10. And so you'd like to think the Steelers would get off the field. They were not getting off the field on 3rd down all game long. I got the stats to back it up. Actually, Alex Kozora pulled these, so I didn't have to go through the trouble of doing it this morning when I got in. And so thanks to him from Steelers Depot. The Colts went 8 for 15 on 3rd down against the Steelers. No good. 6 of the 8 came on 3rd down and 6+. Indy finished the game 6 of 10 in 3rd and 6+. Now, coming into the game, the Steelers had only allowed, and again, this is from Kozora, had only allowed a conversion rate of 13.6% on 3rd down and 6+ or longer. So the Steelers had been the best defense in the NFL getting off the field in those down and distance situations. The Colts went 6 of 10, 60% on 3rd and 6+. So you can say it changed the game. It was a terrible call regardless. Like, even, I think Colts fans might agree with it. National media members, all who aren't biased, they're not looking at this with black and gold colored glasses, said it was a terrible call on Minkah. I'm not going to sit here, though, and pretend like I have any confidence they were going to get off the field on that 3rd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that. 60% of the time they converted in those situations. So they might not have gotten off the field. Bad call. I don't use it as an excuse for why they lost the game. They shot themselves enough in the foot that I don't want to be the guy that gets on here behind the microphone and says, oh, yeah, the refs cost him the game. They didn't.
Yeah, you can never use that as an excuse. If we're sitting here, we're allowed to do it, but if you're sitting there, if you say you're Mike Tomlin, he's never going to do that, but if you're a coach after the game that says, like, well, this play, that call, then that means that you were behind. That means that you didn't do the things necessary to get yourself relevant in the football game.
Yes.
And now you're looking for excuses.
If you win, like Narduzzi did it after the backyard brawl. If you win and you want to bitch about the refs, I'm fine with it. Like, to the victor go the spoils. To the victor, you can set your own narrative. But when you lose, I'm fine with, hey, that sucked. I'm not fine with, that sucked and is why we lost, .. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be okay with that. That's not the only screw up either. I mean, we've already touched on a few. The Fields fumble, where he runs backwards 22 yards, fumbles the football. I'm watching this in slow motion right now. I mean, I think he gets touched when he's on the ground with his knees on the ground.
Like, his knee was on the ground, then he popped up, he got touched, I think.
So he pops up.
His knee was down, then he pops back up.
And I think his elbow's on the ground when he gets when the defender touches him. So I think they screwed that one up, too.
Did they even look at that? I can't remember.
They did not. Okay. So I think that's ridiculous. But again, when you're down 17-0, the referees had no bearing on being down 17-0. And that's why they lost the game. Tomlin disagrees. He said, oh, you got to make plays at the end. Oh, you can't turn the football over. Those things are true. You lost when it was 17-0. That's how I look at it. 412-928-9370. Let's look more at the Steelers' defense when we come back, Doran. It's the best Steelers' defense since 2010. It's the best Steelers' defense since 2008. It's the Steel Curtain. No, it friggin' ain't. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
You know, I thought they had some nice things going with downs, in particular some option routes. I thought we got comfortable there in the third quarter. When you work all week to defend Richardson and then you get Flacco, it's a little bit different, and it probably took us a little too long to adapt and adjust in some areas.
I can't get over that.
I can't believe he said that. Like, I can't believe that came out of Mike Tomlin's mouth.
Anthony Richardson got hurt yesterday, and then Tom Brady went in, according to Mike Tomlin. I think it'd be totally different if it was the other way. It might be more excusable if it was the other way. If a player like Joe Flacco was starting the game and gets hurt, and then an athlete of Anthony Richardson's caliber comes in, and you say, man, we were prepared for him. We did work on some of that stuff during the week, but it's totally different. That I could get that. This is this not Kirk Cousins? I mean, right, did they not play this guy already? Right. Like, Justin Herbert's ankle, he had Liz Frank, he had the high ankle sprain. He couldn't move. Is that not what Joe Flacco is? They played this guy twice already.
Yes, they did.
And you're going to let Joe Flacco come in and dice you up?
And that is, I'm not going to say excuse, but that's a reason why you felt that you were taken advantage of on defense, is because you weren't prepared for that? What?
That is eye-opening to hear from your head coach. And Ryan Scarpino, former Steelers PR guy, he tweets stuff out during Steelers games. I think he's really smart. He's been around teams. He's been around the Steelers. He understands kind of what makes Tomlin and a lot of the guys in that locker room tick. And he said, you can't ask the Steelers defense every week to shut the opponents down. Can you ask him not to give up 27 Indianapolis to a backup quarterback? I think it's unacceptable to give up 27 to Anthony Richardson. I think it's unacceptable to give up 27 to Joe Flacco. I think it's darn near unacceptable to give up 27 points to any team in the National Football League when you pay this much for defense. And last week, Mike Tomlin after the game said the Steelers defense prides itself on, and I'm paraphrasing here, meeting the moment, and they wanted to be the best defense on the field last Sunday because the Chargers came in ranked number one.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers view themselves as the number one defense. Before you even had time to get your icy light, it's 14-0. The defense deserves to take most of the blame for this loss yesterday. And I'd be surprised if we had people call up and say otherwise. And I think it would be ridiculous if we had people call up and say otherwise. They laid an egg. They are down 17-0 before people in Indianapolis have even settled into their seats, right, for God's sakes. And yeah, the offense didn't bathe itself in glory. They punt on the first drive, and Broderick Jones commits a really stupid penalty that takes them out of field goal range, even though I think Tomlin should have still lined up for the field goal. They had the four and out the next possession. So the offense, not good enough early, but the defense at $140 million lets Richardson and Flacco go hot knife through butter? No, that's not acceptable.
No, not at all.
Like, Tomlin's never seen Flacco play.
That too. Like, you know, we weren't prepared. Like, you've seen Flacco 100 times. You're very familiar with him. It's a simple adjustment, but you just couldn't let that, you couldn't make that happen. And you're like, it was, whenever you let Joe Flacco dice you up, there's a lot of questions. And then whenever you have Joe Flacco back there, as we said earlier, compared to Anthony Richardson and arguably the best defensive player in the National Football League, can't get to him, that's questions too.
I don't get the non-blitzing thing. I know they blitzed three times. I said that earlier, so that's more than they usually do. They should have heated him up the whole time. Because you know what, Tomlin? Oh, we don't want to rush four. He's going to dice us up. What did he do? He diced you up anyway. So try something different. I said I wasn't going to get super worked up today. I still think silver lining here, we learned a lot about Justin Fields. And to me, over the course of the season in the long run, that's gonna matter a lot more than a loss. But this defense deserves to be whipped up and down for this one.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You score 24 points on the road with this defense, you need to win 10 out of 10 times. Every time. Now, it's not Mahomes. It's not Josh Allen. 27 points. Like, to Scarpino's point, the defense isn't going to be able to do it every week. You should do it against Flacco. Flacco! Joe Flacco, Michael Pittman has sucked all year.
All year, and he has over, how many yards did he have yesterday? 90?
Joey Porter stunk. He's young, okay. He stunk, drops a pick. TJ Watt, a couple times, okay, I thought he got held. That happens every week. A couple of people have texted in, oh, TJ Watt, he couldn't do anything because he got held. He gets held every week. And still, you don't think he was getting held? When he was putting up 22 sacks in a season, he's getting held. He got held last year, got held last week, got held the week before, has made plays. That's what he does. That's what he's paid for. And so Alex Highsmith's out. Oh, he got a lot more attention paid on him. Go make plays.
Yep.
If Myles Garrett went out and had that performance, we'd be killing him today. And deservedly so. 412-928-9370. Cordell in Coriopolis. Right. Hello, Cordell.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
What's up, Slash?
Hey, as far as the officiating, give these guys a break a little bit. It's also, Doran just said that how fast the game is. It's fast for the officials, too. And I know it looks bad when they slow it down and they put things in slow motion. It was the wrong call. I'm not saying it wasn't. But that's a tough spot, too. So when you're the head coach of the Steelers makes mistakes, He should be criticized more than the officials that are on the field. I'm not saying you guys
aren't doing
that.
And I think, yeah, and thank you for saying that, Cordell. Appreciate the call. Really thought you were good in 2001. I get what he's saying. It's a hard job. But the same way the coaches are the best on the planet and the players are the best on the planet, these are supposed to be the best officials on the planet. And I'm not saying they're not going to get stuff wrong. But that was so egregiously wrong, you got to call them to the carpet.
Mm-hmm. There's multiple eyes, too. It's not just one guy out there. Not right. Just one official. Like, there's other that can overturn what the call is. Like, no, actually, you know, I saw that happen a couple times. I don't know if it was a college game or a pro game yesterday, but there was times where a flag was thrown, and then you see the other official come in and be like, well, you know, I saw this. And it's like, okay, well, you had a better angle. Like, there's multiple eyes. It's not just one guy seeing this.
Yes. And I would say review everything, but I'm not sure they'd get it right anyhow.
Right.
Think about the end of that Virginia Tech-Miami game.
Oh, my goodness.
That one, I don't know how you can blame an official there. Like, I'm still not really sure what happened. Like, I have no clue. Sometimes it is hard. But to me, it's the obvious ones that you got to get right.
Yes.
It's the obvious ones. The Browns got totally screwed. They had an 82-yard touchdown that would have put them up perhaps for good in that football game, and the referees called a hold that, hey, I want to see the Browns lose as much as anyone, was not a hold. It's happening all across the league. It's not just this official. It's not just this game. And I'm not sure what you do about it. People have said get full-time officials.
I think you use common damn sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should be that difficult. Like I'm a big rule guy. And there has to be rules with everything in life. I believe that. But there also has to be the human element of making the right decision that's cut and dry, black and white, and night and day. And if you see something with your eyes, whatever the rule may be, you see it and it's like, okay, well, that's not really what the rule actually says. And even if it is, you see it with your eyes and says, like, okay, it may fall under the rules, but it's not what the rule may state, if
right.
that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Come on.
I think about the ramifications of that play on the rest of the season, too. Like, I said what I would do if I were Minka, and I can say this because I'm a big-time tough football player, Norm. I would absolutely shellack the next guy.
But then they'll hit you in the pockets.
I know that. I might as well get my money's worth. If you're going to call me anyway, I bet you he gets fined for this.
Probably.
He's going to get fined anyway.
But if he goes out next time and does that, and it's like the same thing, and he lowers his helmet, he's going to get hit big time.
Bigger.
Not even be able to be.
Well, especially now because he'll be a repeat offender.
Yes.
I would crush him the next time. I bet you he goes the opposite way. I bet you the next time you're throwing a whole shot down the sideline, you're going to see Minka Fitzpatrick just play dead. Just lay there.
Yep, touchdown.
Just lay there. Let him score.
Yep.
I could see it going that way. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Texter, they lost the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
No doubt. I thought
they definitely did.
No doubt.
Early, too.
Yep.
And the Colts offensive line, which is among the best in the game, shouldn't have been one of the best in the game this week. Center was out, right tackle's out. You're not the best when you don't have the same guys. You're not as good without Isaac Seumalo. You're not as good without Troy Faltanu. We've seen that. That is inexcusable to me. They say defense travels, Doran. They say defense is portable. The Steelers should have one constant every week. Well, I said it last week. They were, the most physical team in football. Not the best. Maybe not close to the best. But the team that when you wake up on Monday, when you wake up on Tuesday, oh, you know you played the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you think's feeling crappier today?
Mm.
Steelers or the Colts?
Mm-hmm.
That was a soft performance by the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they are soft. That was a soft performance. In fact, you had Deshaun Elliott coming out after the game saying you got to work harder in practice. I hate to do this because...
Pads this week.
Well, they've been doing pads every Wednesday. Oh. This is the pads this week game.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know that's going to be set tomorrow.
They did it after Houston last week. You had the big, bully, bad Baltimore Ravens come to town. Steelers line up. They beat them. You got the big,
bad
Dallas Cowboys coming to town this week.
Pads.
If this weekend was a Tomlin loss, Sunday night's a Tomlin win. I'm calling that on Monday. We're going to buy in. We're going to strap up. We're going to be physical. They're going to kick the hell out of the Cowboys in this game. I'm feeling it. But that's not what today's about. Today's about bitching, moaning, and complaining. We'll continue doing that with you on the phone lines next at 412-928-9370. And we'll look around the NFL a little bit as well. The Baltimore Ravens, they're back even, Steven, at 2-2. Been talking Steelers all show. Someone texted in and said, you guys are just finally now talking about the refs? What have you been talking about for the last 2 hours? We can't talk about everything all at once. Like,
what have we been talking about?
The game?
Yeah.
We'll take some calls here in this segment, and as we round out the hour, Mark Caboli going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you, though, 412-928-9370. Real quick, the Ravens are back.
Yes.
They are back.
Yes.
And maybe more difficult to defend than ever before?
Yes.
Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing all of a sudden?
2 games.
We had Jason LaConfora come on week one and say, I never thought Derrick Henry was quite the fit. And they have changed things up, the way that they are calling the runs. It looks like a fit to me. He had the play of the game, first play from scrimmage did Derrick Henry, takes a thing 80-plus yards to the house, the longest rush in Baltimore Ravens history, which is incredible. They once had Jamal Lewis rush for over 2,000 yards in a year. They have Lamar Jackson. They've had other good players in between. That was stunning to me. And then he finishes off the game pretty much with a long, like, 50-yard run or so. So they look like the real deal again. They figured it out, and they beat probably the king of the mountain to this point in the season, Buffalo. So
they didn't just beat him.
They beat him.
Whooped him.
Whooped that ass.
Especially after what Buffalo did to Jacksonville. Man.
I thought early, okay, it'll take a minute. Buffalo will settle in. The Ravens have blown a lot of leads of late. That's sort of been their MO. No, that was a statement win yesterday. And you got Bengals v. Ravens coming up. which is massive. So the Bengals get their first win. They're now 1-3. The Browns lose, by their standards, a heartbreaker against Las Vegas. They stink. They're 1-3. So those two teams each two games behind the Steelers. Baltimore was the one we were worried about anyhow, and I think there's absolutely reason to be worried. Absolutely reason. Deshaun Watson stunk again. I mean, he's just no good. I don't worry about them at all.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, you even called it last week, too, that they were going to lose that game as well.
The Raiders, they had to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
Antonio Pierce said, we got players out here making business decisions, and they go and win the game. Now, they were aided by a really crucial penalty call that wasn't on what would have been an 82-yard go-ahead touchdown. But, hey, yeah, you don't cry about those kind of things when you're 1-3 and your quarterback's playing like nonsense. And if you do, you're losers. Ron in the car next up. Hi, Ron.
Hey, fellas, just trying to calm you down. I'm surprised you guys are that upset about this game. It's a Tomlin special. He does it once, twice, maybe three times a year.
Well, there are elements of the game that get me really worked up. But on the whole, man, I am more encouraged by what Justin Fields did than I am distraught about the loss.
Agree.
No, I totally agree. But, you know, you know what's going to happen. Mike gets nervous. He's going to do a challenge that doesn't necessarily mean to. He's going to waste the time out. It's the same story every year, fellas.
It really is, Ron. We've seen this so many times before. We saw it in Houston last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I said this the first segment, too. Mike Tomlin's not the only coach in the league who has Tomlin losses. Bill Belichick used to go to Miami darn near every year and lose to some really not good Dolphins teams. The Ravens, they lost to the Raiders at home. The Bengals lost to New England at home. The Bengals lost to Washington at home, which is starting to look a little bit more excusable, actually. Washington kind of looks like the real deal, and Jane Daniels looks like a dude. I mean, he looks really good, man. He was the quarterback we all liked the most coming out.
Yes.
But it happens. It does. I'm not excusing it.
What made you feel that? Because you were spot on last week. What gave you that feeling? Just because of what Ron just said? Because there's a Tomlin loss in there?
It's the Tomlin loss. It's the state of the NFL. It's that they're not as good as a 4-0 record would indicate. I had that feeling. I don't think I conveyed it well. I believe in the last segment of the show, Doran, I said, I think the Steelers are going to win, but I picked the Colts.
Right.
I think I picked both teams in one sentence, but I think I was more eloquent early in the show. Said all the matchups indicate the Steelers should win this game and maybe win this game going away, but I got a funny feeling. I did not, however, think it would be 17-0 early.
And I believe there's a lot of people out there who ever thought that this would be a Tomlin loss or whoever thought that they would lose this game. They didn't. There's no way that you thought that this was the way that they were going to lose by the defense being Swiss cheese.
No, and in fact, if you would have told me before the game, Crowley, I can see the future. I'll give you one element of this game. Joe Flacco is going to play the majority. I would have said the Steelers dominate the game.
Yep.
Actually, it would have made me change my prediction. I thought the funkiness of Anthony Richardson and his propensity to hit the deep shots and what he can do with his legs, and you mix that with Jonathan Taylor, I thought that would give them problems. But if it's Joe Flacco, who's Mr. Immobile standing back there, I wouldn't have thought he'd be. I thought he would get sacked 8 times, honestly.
Let's play a little hindsight game real quick. If Anthony Richardson doesn't get hurt, what does the game look like at the end? Do you think I think they might have boat raced the Steelers. I think that there wouldn't have been a chance for Justin Fields to come back at all.
Well, they were up 14-0 with Anthony Richardson. So he started digging the grave and probably got 4 of the 6 feet dug before Flacco even got in there. Like it's the NFL. You're down 17-0, you lose the game. I think they lose either way at that point.
Yeah.
I do. And the way I felt last week, I feel the opposite about the upcoming game. Like I think this is one of those classic Tomlin wins. We predicted it last year before Baltimore and before Cleveland. You come off a bad loss, you're at home, prime time, probably going to strap up the pads this week. I don't think Dallas is super good. I think they're pretty soft, and I think the Steelers are going to be called to the carpet this week because they were soft for a large portion of this game. I think the Steelers beat the Cowboys, but we'll get into that later on in the week. 412-928-9370, a bunch of calls to comb through. Going around the AFC North there, sponsored by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli joins us in 10 minutes. He was a Debbie Downer when the Steelers were 3-0. So how's he going to feel today I bet you he's going to go the other way. I really do.
What's he going to say?
I think he's going to say, you know what? These losses happen. No big deal. They're injured. They're going to get healthy. We actually saw something from Justin Fields. He tends to zig when everyone zags. Everyone was getting high on 3-0. I really think that's what he's going to do.
He does do that, huh?
He just likes to be the contrarian, Mr. Caboli.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hear from him coming up at 9 o'clock. I wonder if he went and hung out with McAfee at all.
Probably. I would think it'd be odd if he didn't. Right?
Since he saved his career?
Yes. If McAfee was like, hey, you're in the town where I live and where our studio is, we're not going to hang out. I don't want to see you.
That'd don't want to hang out with you at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caboli said that he booked a hotel for the wrong weekend by accident, and now the prices are through the roof, and then later on tweeted out that he figured it out. I wonder if one of those guys, I wonder if Tone Diggs put him up or something.
Probably.
He probably slept on Tone Diggs' couch.
What if he slept on McAfee's couch?
Oh, my God. You think that couch is made of gold? Not the one he let him sleep on. I will say the injury stuff matters. I mean, it just does. And another reason why I put this so much more on the defense than the turnovers. And Mike Tomlin blames it all on the turnovers. Oh, it's all the turnovers. Can't turn the ball over. Reason I put it more on the defense is because you're without your best offensive lineman. You're without your second best offensive lineman. Maybe at least your only other real good veteran offensive lineman, James Daniels, leaves early. So your three interior guys are all youngsters. You're without your best running back from this game who goes out early, CP, who is excellent. You're without Jaylen Warren. Najee, I think he's banged up. Not an excuse, but he wasn't playing well. And you still find a way to put up 24 points. When you're battered and beleaguered offense that hadn't been good up until last week anyhow, puts up 24, win the game with the $140 million defense.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. First drive, bang, touchdown. Second drive, bang, touchdown. Can't happen. Can't happen. One touchdown, that happens. We've seen it happen. And they've basically hunkered down, coalesced.
Figured it out.
Figured it out, made adjustments, played better the rest of the way. But 14-0 in the NFL is 14-0, and I put that way more on the defense than I do the offense. The offense had a bad penalty. From Broderick Jones, Spencer Anderson, both peeling off a guy from the pile. It cost them points. But what's it going to be, 14-3 then at that point? It's much more on the defense. We'll see what Caboli says. Does he zig when everyone else is zagging, or does he pile on? Where did he sleep last night? So many questions. And we got answers when we come back. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High 70, low 63. Rain all day long.